Christian Heritage Homeschool Educators of Washington presents the Christian Heritage Webinar Series. Join host Dr. Thomas Lamar as he welcomes Mrs. Renee Ellison of Homeschool How To's to address the issue of homeschool burnout, its causes, and cures. For more information, visit ChristianHeritageOnline.org. This webinar recorded on March 5th, 2013. Welcome back to the Christian Heritage Webinar Series. My name is Dr. Thomas Lamar. I'm a homeschooling father of seven, chiropractor by trade, and a guy who loves to podcast. And I am honored to be your host for the Christian Heritage Webinar Series, a series which looks to encourage, teach, and inspire you with biblical vision for your family and the home education process. Welcome once again. I want to acknowledge those of you who are joining us live tonight. We want to thank you for carving time out of your evening to do this. And, you know, we certainly hope that you find this time to be a blessing for you and your family. Tonight, our topic is about something that I'm sure many of us can relate to, especially the moms out there. Homeschool burnout, its causes and cures. And so we're real excited to bring you this information in just a moment. We're off to a great start with our webinar series, folks. Last month, Dr. Job Martin of Biblical Discipleship Ministries helped us kick off our inaugural episode by sharing with us how to raise our children to be leaders and godly ones at that. 70 families joined us live for that presentation, which is just great. It really thrills us. And what is so exciting about all this is we have a chance. And you know, when I say we, I'm referring to we collectively, which includes you. We have a chance of taking the great teaching and inspiration of biblical vision that many of you have come to know and appreciate through Christian Heritage. We have a chance of taking this beyond our northwestern corner here in the United States and sharing it with the world, all for God's glory. And so while the live webinar event with Dr. Job Martin, for example, is in the past, the recording is now available to anyone on the internet to listen to and to share with others for years to come. And this is where we want to enlist your help. We need you to share this information with others that you think would be blessed by it. I want to encourage you to go to ChristianHeritageOnline.org and scroll down on the homepage and look under the blog categories in the right-hand column. I want you to look for webinars. Click on that, and then that's going to bring you to the webinar recording that we did with Dr. Job Martin, and you know, frankly, it will bring you to the one that we're doing tonight. We have it available as a video, so you can watch it right there on the website, and we also have an audio-only version, which is really exciting because you can listen to it there if you'd like to, but you can also download it and listen to it, say, while you're driving in the car or during some sort of other multitasking activity. But here's the key. At the bottom of the page where the webinar recording resides, in the right-hand column, you will see a series of socializing links that will allow you to easily share this recording with others on Facebook, Twitter, Google+, Pinterest, and wherever you hang out online. You know, there's even good old-fashioned email. So we want you to help us out by sharing this great content with thousands and thousands of families around the world. So we want to thank you in advance for your help. As a reminder, if you are joining us live tonight, you know, one of the benefits is that you can interact with our guest by asking questions in real time. And to do that, simply type your questions in the chat box, which is on your screen. And once again, our able and ready question screener and man behind the scenes, making sure everything goes as smoothly as possible tonight, Daniel Craig, he'll sort those questions out on his end and then send them my way. And if we can interject them during the interview presentation, you know, we will go ahead and do that. Otherwise, we'll hold on to them for the Q&A, which will occur at the end. Emboldening you to do all for the glory of God. That is the theme of the upcoming 2013 Christian Heritage Homeschooling Conference to be held in Redmond, Washington. And folks, if you have not been to one of these conferences, let me just say, this is way more than a homeschool conference with curriculum fair. This is something that my wife and I have attended just about every time because they're that good and they're that needed. And since attending our first conference, we have led multiple families to do the same, and they have been blessed as well. April 25th, 26th, and 27th of 2013 are the dates. Please go to ChristianHeritageOnline.org for more information. And this just in, wow, this is a great deal. I'm told if you register with a family that has never attended the conference before, both families will receive 40% off. That's pretty cool. So don't delay. Register now with that family who has never attended before, and you'll both save. And of course, let them know you heard about this on the webinar. And of course, if you're catching this on a recording, well, go to the website anyway and see what's in the pipeline, because they're always working on something. Speaking of the 2013 Homeschooling Conference, our guest on this episode of the Christian Heritage webinar series will be one of the many phenomenal speakers who aims to embolden you to do all for the glory of God as you homeschool your children. With over 30 years of experience in Christian, private, secular, and home education, our guest brings rare understanding to her workshops. She has taught nearly all grade levels and was an elementary principal, head of a high school English department, and awarded Teacher of the Year. She developed and ran gifted and talented programs and has conducted numerous teacher training workshops and seminars at homeschool conferences nationwide. Her unique knack and wit for making complex things simple makes attending her workshops a pure joy. As a Bible-believing homeschool mom, she delights in her professional academic background to help others teach and train more effectually at home. She and her husband are the parents of one incredible child with more in heaven and work together to create homeschool how-tos. It is my absolute pleasure to welcome to our Christian Heritage webinar series from Durango, Colorado, Mrs. Renee Ellison. Renee, welcome to the program.
It's wonderful to be here, Dr. Lamar.
Oh, great. I'm so glad to have you on. You know, tonight we're going to talk about a topic that, well, you know, let's face it, on the surface, it's not real upbeat. But it is a very real and very sobering topic that, well, that many in the homeschool community have faced. It's called homeschool burnout. And I'm sure that many have experienced this, or believe they have experienced it. And so, you know, I think maybe the best place to start, Renee, is to gain some common ground here and define, you know, what is homeschool burnout and what is it not?
Well, Dr. Lamar, you'll know it when you see it. Husbands know it. Couples know it. There'll be an emerging lack of joy in the homeschool endeavor. There'll be perhaps lots of bickering and fighting in amongst family members. There'll be sighs from the wife. She won't be laughing anymore. She can't get the simplest of chores done. She may be experiencing adrenal exhaustion, some brain fog. The overriding thing that they will experience is feeling chronically overwhelmed. So there are levels of burnout. And tonight we're going to try to cover the waterfront here, and our main goal is that we want you to be able to avoid burnout. We're hoping that nobody is there on the edge tonight in this broadcast, but if you are, I think you'll have some encouraging moments in this talk. But we want you to be able to avoid burnout by seeing what the causes are of it. And it's like avoiding cancer. You know, we can deal with it when you have it, but it's much better to avoid it before it gets started. And many people who are in a burnout or semi-burnout state think that there's only two options. One, they can just throw their kids back in the public school or die. You know, they think, I'm going to die. That's my only other option here.
So, and Renee, I could just clarify here, you know, this is more than my wife telling me that she had a bad day homeschooling the kids. You know, I come home from work, you know, and I see my wife crying. You know, what do I need to do as a husband to diagnose whether or not my wife is on the edge of homeschool burnout?
Yes, well, you'll see that she just can't function anymore. If it's severe, it will reach that level. And you know, people experience this even in their marriages. I was just talking to a gal the other day, and she said, I feel like I'm, because she didn't believe in divorce, and she said, I feel like I can only just endure this or die. And I said, oh, wait a minute. We have the whole area of counseling open to you. And that's what we're trying to give you tonight, is this whole area of a breadth of perspectives about burnout, that you don't just have the two options of public school or not making it.
Okay, so then let's, if we could dial back here, help us to gain more of a big picture view here. I've read some of your material to prepare for our time tonight, and you say that burnout has two parts. Tell us what those two parts are.
Well, there are factors that you can't change, and then there are factors that you can change. So we want to look at both of those.
Okay, so what are some factors that we can't change?
Okay, well, one thing, you can't change your children's personality. You can't change your husband, or your husband, the husband can't change his wife. So you have to deal with what is, and embrace them, just like Jesus did all the way to the cross. I mean, this is what he came into the world to do. And so the only thing we can change then over immovable things is to think about them differently. It's like a broken arm. Let's say you get a broken arm, and then you just have to live life a little differently. You're compensating for that arm. So you have to change your responses to the immovables. And we have to do this even in marriage. You know, anybody who's been married for a long time understands that. You have to change your own responses to the immovables.
Okay, so, you know, I'm listening to you and just play devil's advocate. You're like, well, these are factors that we can't change, so that's kind of, it's all over then, right?
Yeah, well, mean, we're going to look at the fact.
I can't do anything.
This is the base. Yes, this is the baseline. But then we're going to look at the factors that we can change, and changing those can diffuse burnout immensely.
Okay, so give us some hope. What can we do here to pull ourselves out of this funk?
Okay, well, first of all, let's talk a little bit about who gets burnout. Well, educators are some of the top people in the world, in all the professions, to encounter burnout, because you're not just counting apples here or arranging papers. You are dealing with little personalities. And so it takes everything you have. It's a high voltage career you're in. So understanding that, and that you're not the only one, and that all the other moms out there and all the other dads are doing a better job than you are, it's just an illusion. That's not true. It's a delusion. They're all struggling. They're all needing to go to the Lord to get help. So that's a good baseline. Now we're going to talk about three specific broad sweep antidotes. One is to take a break. That seems so simple. but for one thing, if you take a break once a week, like the Lord designed in Scripture, a full Sabbath rest, just one in seven. And I'm talking about unplugging the computers, not going grocery shopping, maybe not answering your phone, not writing letters, just soaking in the word of the Lord and soaking with other believers. And even when you get home, then reading supportive, inspiring materials, putting your feet up, taking three naps if you need to. In other words, taking advantage of that Sabbath that the Lord built into our life that our culture has largely spurned. You know, we go shopping in the afternoon or skiing in the afternoon. No, take it seriously. If you're homeschooling, you need a break, one in seven.
That's so true. You know, and especially in this day and age with technology and how technology has allowed us to do more work in a shorter amount of time. We can't even drive our cars anymore without, you know, being connected in some way.
Right.
It's just go, go, go all the time.
Go, go, go. So we need to really take this seriously. And if you haven't done it for a while, just like the children of Israel, then go ahead and take a week off, or however much you need, 3 days off, and try to recalibrate, and then build that into your life. And a second area you want to do is to switch as much of your homeschooling to automatic pilot as you can. One of the biggest causes of homeschool burnout that we see is choosing the wrong curriculum. It's a curriculum that is too loaded with mom dependence. In other words, the mom has to stay up late the night before and paw through the teacher's manuals, and then she has to write out schedules for every child. This is way too much. It will crash. It will burn. So you have to look for curriculum that's going to carry a lot more of that task, that requires almost no mommy planning, and that the kids can correct themselves. If you have a curriculum that's working for you, stick with it. But if you're on that burnout edge, and you're about ready to throw them back in public school, look for a curriculum like ACE, Accelerated Christian Education, and there are others out there that have the children correct their own, that carry the individualized load much more on them rather than on mother. And then the third area is to examine your recreation habits. A lot of us think we're recreating when we're really encountering more stress. For example, movies. You know, movies are built on stress. That's how they sell. That's how they gain, curiosity and interest in them and hold people's attention. They're high voltage stress situations. Why don't you try instead taking lovely family walks or listening to a full classical piece of music or eating a whole bowl full of strawberries, you know, things that are truly relaxing. So examine your recreation habits. Are they recreating? That's what the word comes from. Are they recreating your energy?
Those are excellent. And I imagine that for most people, if they were just to implement one, two, or three of those that you just shared, that's going to solve their homeschool burnout problem. But
it'll make a huge difference.
But Renee, what I want you to do though right now is, I know that we have probably some that are listening right now that are, well, you know, they're right there on the edge. They found themselves so deep in this burnout thing that we're talking about that they're finding themselves asking whether they should even continue to homeschool at all, or if they should even be homeschooling in the first place. Can you talk to those people right now?
Yes. This area is very important. Lots of people get into homeschooling for different reasons, but lots of them get into it as a reaction against something. For example, they got in the public school and their child had a run-in with a personality of a teacher, or there was some incident that happened in the school that the parents don't go along with, or there was some sort of liberal programming brainwashing going on, which is 99.9% of the case. But at any rate, so there'll be an event that will kick the family into thinking about homeschooling, and then they may have a knee-jerk response and begin it. Well, that's okay to get into it, and the Lord uses everything even to get us to become Christians. It doesn't matter how we get into it, but it will not sustain us. So we have to go back and look at our anchor, that we are raising godly seed here. This is a huge mandate. This is a dominion mandate that we get from the book of Genesis. And we have to go back to the book of Deuteronomy, chapters 4 through 6, and get a substantive, enduring vision. These are training days for reigning days. And I'm spelling that R-E-I-G-N-I-N-G. We are training to reign in the millennium. And the Lord is getting two generations at once. He's getting you and he's getting your children trained. And this is vitally, vitally important. And it comes with many layers. So we're not just reacting to gun shootings or mass, violence in schools. We are taking up a mandate that will last from the womb to the tomb of influence over the next generation. So we want to get that substantive vision solid. Then we want some inspiration. And for that, you can go to veteran homeschoolers and just watch them. You can call them up and have talks with them. There are many good materials out there that you can go and read to re-inspire you to take off this edginess about the place where you are right now. And another thing to consider about your anchor is, are you really just trying to duplicate the Egyptian system? Just think about how crazy this would be if the Israelites had given their children to the Egyptians to train in Egypt. I mean, how ludicrous would that have been? They wouldn't have dreamed of it. They would know their children would end up worshiping different gods and acting socially very differently. So we don't want to just duplicate that. We want to get rid of comparisons and competitions and labeling and rush. And think about, what would education look like in heaven? You know, does it have this labeling, or is it a generous experience of growing, just growing with the IQ you've been given? And then the fourth thing about re-examining your anchor is, are your expectations too high? Are you perhaps perfectionists? Are you involved in self-induced stress? It's not even the Egyptian system that's pressuring you, but you're doing this to yourself. Perhaps you're hammering on a child to be a pianist, a world-class pianist, and he doesn't have a musical bone in his body. He's he's born to be an athlete. Mm-hmm. So we need to look at our own self-induced stress levels as well.
Well, I love what you're talking about there, because I mean, it was almost like you just described our family. When we started homeschooling, we were homeschooling because we just simply thought we could do a better job in the public school system. And it wasn't really until we started aligning with Christian Heritage that our why of why we homeschool became very crystal clear. And that is really, as you say, that is our anchor. And we're always holding on to that because, there's so many surface things that happen all the time in education. But if you can hold fast to your anchor, you're not budging.
Exactly. And you'll go the distance.
Absolutely. So let's continue then talking about homeschool burnout causes and cures, because you have a bunch of other ones. You just went over some great, what you call broad sweep antidotes, but you have a topic that you address in what you say it's in your head. What do you mean by that?
Well, much of life can be reinterpreted even to ourselves by carrying different sentences in our head. Our self-talk can go sour. For example, when we look at our problems in our family, we can say, oh, we have this overwhelming problem. Or we can say, I have an invigorating challenge. Mm-hmm. You see, just by the words we pick, we can gain energy and not be so prone to burnout by saying, okay, every family has problems. And these are ours, and we're going to look at them as invigorating challenges. And the Lord hasn't left us. He's here, and he has some ideas as well. Another area is we may just feel bone dry. And that is wonderfully reversed by watching other families, going there and visiting them, spending some time with them, who have made a success of homeschooling. And let's say you're just bottling up discouragement. Well, maybe it's time to vent. And we're not talking about venting to all 100 friends of yours, but vent maybe to your husband, or your husband vents to you and says, look, I'm watching and I see you burning out and you're not enjoying this and can't even get dinner on the table. Let's talk. The lights are going on and off on the dashboard of our car, so to speak. So it's time to really talk and vent. And then the most important place to do that is with God. And how do you do this? Well, you name your frustration. You know how when you name a sin that you've done, you don't just say, forgive me for all of my sins, but you actually name the sin. Mm-hmm. Just in naming it, you get relief. And so naming the frustration, naming the 10 frustrations, you will get relief as you unburden your heart to God.
You got to call it out. Put it on the mat.
Right. And this clarifies your brain fog, that it isn't just everything. It's this quirky area, or it's this thing. So naming it is wonderful, clarifying the brain fog. Then examine if you're an introvert or not. If you are an introvert, you will live life three times. You will anticipate the day with the children. You will live through the day with the children. And at night, you will review the day you had with the children. So if you're this kind of person, you have to do less. You have to learn to say no.
My wife is in studio. She's raising her hand right now. You just nailed her. She lives her life three times.
Yes. And some people even begin as extroverts and turn into introverts as the load gets heavier and heavier. Okay, another area in your brain, your own brain, is that one thing may be too heavy on your mind, that it's just constantly lingering there. For example, let's say you just moved and you have one room left of boxes you need to unpack, and it just hangs on your mind and it clouds your homeschooling experience. Or let's say the back fence is broken and the dog keeps getting out and it needs to be fixed and painted. Well, if there's one thing heavy on your mind, stop and do the one thing. Have the whole family do the one thing. Get it out of the boxing ring and settle it. And then that's going to free you up. That's going to lighten up your burnout load. Another area, you may be just emerging from trauma. For example, someone died in the family, or someone had an extremely explosive moment in the family. Well, then you need to have some reverberation time. And a good thing to do is not press ahead with academics at that time when you need to nourish emotions, and maybe do domestic things more instead. Work on some woodworking and making bread and that kind of thing. So emerging from trauma, you're going to need a little time. And then the final area that you carry in your brain that's unnecessary is comparing yourself with others. And the Father, the Heavenly Father, throughout Scripture, he says it's unwise in Corinthians. Try to be a first best you, not a second best someone else, not a second best some other family that you look at and you just think they're perfect. You know, the Lord made snowflakes and every one of them is different. Well, so too with the homeschool families. Every single family is going to go about it differently. Years ago, there was a book that came out about a family. It's called The Family That Nobody Wanted. And it was this couple. They couldn't have their own children, so they adopted all these children with handicaps. And they would slide down the banisters and sing songs, and one child would help button the other child's clothes if their arm wasn't working right or their legs. And they had so much fun being that family that the neighbors wanted to come over and join in. And they finally did a TV program on it. And so what I'm saying is you can take any lemons and make lemonade out of it.
Oh, that's so important to remember. That is excellent. So as we move on, though, you got so much more here. As we move on to more causes and cures of homeschool burnout, you point to the fact that there really is a balancing act going on. Tell us what the balancing act's all about.
Okay, well, this can start with being overloaded. If you're overloaded, you're just not going to do well. So what are ways to diffuse the overloading? Well, let's say in academics, that you take subjects maybe every other day. So do the same subjects on Monday, Wednesday, and Friday, for example, and the other subjects on Tuesday and Thursday, or include one day on the weekend, even if you want. So alternating days, you can cover twice the amount and each day not feel so overwhelming. You know that this concept is so exciting that you can even hit a subject once a week and do a powerful amount of imprinting. I remember taking ballet once a week, and I still, as a 60-year-old, have that neural networking in my muscles. I'll go grocery shopping or be cleaning the house and get myself in a ballet posture from that high school training of just once a week. So that's an important way to diffuse feeling overloaded. If that is the source of your burnout. Another thing to do if you're overloaded is to teach all year round. Now let's think about this for a minute. We are not agrarian anymore. The original schooling, mass education, happened only during the winter because the children were all needed in the summer to harvest the fields. But we're not linked to the earth anymore in that same way. So we have available to us the entire year. And from teaching in the public school for years and years, over 25 years, I mean, in schools per se, many different types, we would spend the fall month when the children arrived back at school reviewing. That process of reviewing can go on for a month or two and look at the wasted time. Mm-hmm. Whereas if you keep all those subjects on target, keep rolling them ahead, you're not going to have that wasted time, and you're going to always be ahead of grade level instead of behind grade level. And you won't have to be doing 4 hours a day. You could maybe be doing 2 hours a day because you're going all through the summer. So it gives you much more flexibility to go all year.
The other thing, you know, that I would add to that is, you know, when at least this is what we've found, because we've tried it all different ways, you know, where maybe we school the whole year, or we actually take the traditional quote unquote summer off. And we just find that when our kids are idle for more than a few weeks, they start, you know, getting into mischief and things like that. So we just find that if our kids are on track with some sort of schooling throughout the year, it just goes better.
Oh, you're so right on. And, you know, children can play for 10 hours a day. They don't have to play for 12 hours a day. Mm-hmm. A little bit of self-discipline every day is good for all of us. You know,
it's
wonderful.
So what else do we have to balance?
Okay, so now when we're talking about this overcommitted thing and overloaded, you might be overloaded by how much you're trying to get done, but also overcommitted even outside of the home. You need to learn to say no. It's a short little word, N-O.
But it's so difficult.
It's very free. It's very free. In one of the books we researched on stress, it was called Job Stress and Burnout, There was a sterling quote in it. I want to give it to you now. Overcommitment is actually lack of commitment, an unwillingness to say yes wholeheartedly to one option and no to others. Isn't that good?
That's a great quote. And actually, I was going to read it if you didn't. It was just that good.
Wonderful. Well, and another way to think about balance is to ask yourself, am I just temporarily out of balance or am I chronically out of balance? And it's very important to figure that out with your spouse. If you're chronically out of balance, then you have to say no to more things even. And
almost have to swing the complete opposite way, you're saying, to kind of bring you back to center.
Right. And if you're temporarily out of balance, it would be that thing like fixing the backyard fence. But many of us are chronically out of balance. So we need to address that with the little tiny word no.
How did you know that our fence needs fixing?
Oh, dear.
Oh, my wife is laughing. That's good.
Yes. Now, and then another way that it's a balancing act is that you have to remember that your child isn't just a brain. You know, forgetting to connect with them emotionally too. Uh-huh. So sometimes we have to stop the academics a little bit and find our relationship on the emotional level. And that just takes a little bit more time, you know, go on another walk together or read together or lay on the floor and laugh.
Hmm. That's great. Anything else in the balancing act there?
No.
Okay. Then great.
That covers that area.
So let's face it then. Sometimes, you know, homeschool burnout, it stems from the academic portion itself. I know that homeschooling is much more than just, you know, doing math, but sometimes we get wrapped up in the academics. Talk about that.
Yes, this is a huge area. First of all, when you first begin to homeschool, and I think there are vestiges of this kind of guilt that go all the way through, but many mothers, particularly since they're with the kids all day, feel undertrained, and the devil haunts them with that. What do you know? How can you do this? Professionals will do it better. Well, the way to blow that out of the water is to think, what kind of training did Mary, the mother of Jesus, have? And yet she trained her child so well in the scriptures that he was turning the heads of rabbis when he was 12 years old. What kind of training did Moses' mother have? She did something, and his father, to so anchor that fellow that he chose it over all the pleasures of Egypt. What did Daniel's mother have by way of formal training? So that can blow that undertrained lie out of the water. Another area is that academics are a steep learning curve. And if you quit after the first week, you just haven't gotten there yet. You can read more on people's websites. You can talk to more people. It simply is not going to look like what it looks like now, a year from now. So I tell people to stick with it for a while. You just think of how... if you caved in on your marriage after the first 6 months, what you would lose. This is a saddle in for the long haul. And recognize that there is a steep learning curve in the beginning, but it won't always be like this. And then the area of curriculum overload, which we've already talked about some. Make sure the curriculum does the work for you. You don't have to re-educate yourself. You can go fix dinner. You know, you did miss vital parts of your education, but many parents get so involved that they want to study right along with their children, and then there goes the time to do the laundry and the dishes and the fix the car and the things that both mom and dad have to do. So maybe retrain yourself after the kids are grown. And then consider that you don't have to build every pyramid, you know, under the kitchen table or on the kitchen table. Your kids are fairly bright and they're going to get it when you read about the pyramids. You don't have to do a song and dance over every topic. So let the curriculum be your children's tutor and you be their cheerleader.
Yeah, good stuff.
Another area is seek some variety. That'll help burnout immensely. Vary the place. Go study in the park or down by the river or in the car even. And then begin with the last subject first some days. And, you know, alternate where you do things and what you do and the order in which you do them. Another area is just lighten up. Try to find the humor in everything. When something goes wrong, speak of it even worse than it is, and then it'll become funny. Teaching multiple ages can be a cause of burnout. If this is your case, teach to the oldest child and let the young children listen, and you will be amazed at what they pick up. We know of a story of a little child who rolled around under the kitchen table, just playing and having, just rolling from side to side while the mom was on top of the table teaching the kids about gerunds or something. And at night, the father came home and said, okay, kids, tell me what gerunds are. And the little kid from under the table piped up, they're this, Dad. And it turns out he was a kinesthetic learner, and he had to be moving in order to learn. And so lots of that is going on. And you know, it happens even in church. You take your children, your little wee ones, to church, and they understand big concepts. So, but the better route is to have an individualized curriculum, as I've said before, so that they can all be going at their own pace and training themselves. The rigors of homeschooling may be getting to you. Perhaps you're an undisciplined person. Your parents didn't discipline you. Well, like we talked about before, the Lord gets two generations at once. You're going to get disciplined. You're going to learn discipline. You can't just jump up and go to the mall and shop as much as you used to. In fact, you'll find out you can't do hardly any of it. The other spouse gets the groceries on the way home, because your life becomes more and more focused on what's truly important, not just endless materialism. The sweat factor is another thing that invades the academics. Whose sweat is the most in your family? Are you working yourself into a lather and the kid is just staring out the window? Your child is daydreaming? No, you need to be the wise one, the sage on the, you're moving from sage on the stage to guide on the side. And the children need to be the one who are doing the sweat factor. There was an old PE teacher who had this down pat. He would just blow his whistle and the children would run from one side of the gym to the other. And then he'd blow his whistle and they'd run back. And he overdid it. But that's the gist of it. You paid a lot for your wisdom. Nobody can replace your wisdom. Even if you sat in a mommy throne or a daddy throne and had the children come to you and give them directions. So make sure that, like, some brand new mothers with children who are just learning how to read will get the book and they'll open the book for the child and they're doing all the work. No, the child can do that. So we need to find our balance there.
That's a great reminder. Great reminder.
Go ahead.
No, I was just saying that's a great reminder, because sometimes we get out of balance like that.
Exactly. And with chores as well. If the child can do it, have them do it as young as they can be and can lift a trash can, then that's a job for them. You see, we're weaning them off from us and onto God and onto their own wherewithal. Okay. And the last thing under academics would be, what if you're just burned out over having a particularly tough subject that you dread every day? Well, get rid of it. Have someone else teach it. Your spouse, perhaps a grandparent could do a lovely job, or someone at your church, or an older child. You can hire somebody from a Christian college or to come in and just do that one tough subject. You don't have to carry the burden of the academics. You're carrying the burden of the whole environment. And again, this is solved by having an individualized curriculum.
Absolutely. I love how you're encouraging our listeners to kind of think outside the box, because sometimes we get so kind of entrenched in the way we think it needs to be done that we forget that there are other ways. And so this is great. You're bringing out some really good points. As Renee, as we get into some of the final causes and cures of homeschool burnout, I want you to address what you call the relational aspects.
Yes. It's a misperception out there that some parents just get along really well with their children, and I couldn't possibly get along well with mine. I remember talking to a woman who was very discouraged about the parochial school she had her children in, and she said, "Would you educate my child if I take them out because there were things going on at the school they didn't like?" I said, "Well, why don't you homeschool your child?" And she said, "If I homeschooled my child, I would be written up on the cover of Inquirer magazine." that woman hangs child in closet and then hangs next to child. And she was deluded that this is an easy job for others and would be a difficult job for her. No, God made your personality types. He put them all in the family. And if you're going to have to learn how to relate to each other, that will help you relate to the world at large later. All these lessons are vital. We don't just get rid of them because they're difficult. So that's something to think about. Then you can be experiencing burnout if you're having undue conflict with your spouse. And that needs some real examination. We've just finished releasing a book called Growing Marriage. And in there, there's just some outstanding conflict resolutions and ways, particularly for women, to make a heavenly marriage, giving what they're so good at, which is adaptability and flexibility. But there's some wonderful insights in there. And we've gotten some rave reviews on that. So if that's an area that's difficult, look that up on our website if you need some help there. Lack of discipline of the children could be a problem. You love your children, but they're just unruly. And if your children are running your home, Jesus is not running your home. So you need to get a handle on good discipline. And again, we have some good materials for that to give you some real group management as well as individual tactics with your children, how to do reruns, come back in the room with a better spirit and pick the thing up as you come and greet grandma with a smile on your face, doing reruns like you rerun a video or a DVD or something on your computer. Little tricks like that to get the family in discipline. And dads, if you're listening here, we have found consistently through the years that if dad will carry the majority of the disciplining, it will release the wife to have a sweetness about her that is just incredible and grows through the years. If she's having to be the sergeant all the time, and when you're home even, then she grows hard. So dads, give as much help as you can with this discipline when you are home, because she carries quite a bit of it. She carries all of it when you're not there. So she desperately needs psychological relief in that area. And then the last aspect under relational causes of burnout is that you might be having troubles with just one chronically resistant child. The rest of the children are doing pretty well, but there's one child who's particularly resistant and it's just wearing you out. Well, again, we have something on our website about 9 causes of resistance and then the sure cures for those. So that's a little quick booklet that can give you some insights in how to diffuse just that one dynamic with one particular child.
Some of those kind of hurt. I want to get a little personal here. No, anyway, those are great. And we appreciate you addressing that because that is something that definitely needs to be talked about. Finally, Renee, there are some physical needs that our listening audience needs to know about when it comes to homeschool burnout. Talk to us about those.
Okay. Physical needs are every bit as real as psychological needs and can be an area of burnout. Are you struggling under chronic exhaustion? Are you adrenally out of it? And those areas need to be addressed in 2 ways. 1, with better nutrition, and 2, with exercise. And they both need to be there, 50-50. My father, for example, was an exercise nut. He had all kinds of equipment. The basement was full of it. He was terrific with exercise. He'd sweat like the Chinese athletes do and get the toxins out of his system. But he was a junk food eater. And in his desk drawer at his office, he'd have candy bars and things like that. And he died early of heart trouble. Conversely, you can be a food guru and just eating nothing but raw, but sitting or having a much too sedentary life and not exercising enough. So it's very, very important to look at a 50-50 attack on this physical problem, because many people, even people with advanced stages of cancer, have reversed their diseases by tending meticulously to this area of food and exercise. And do it with your children. I knew a mother who every day at 4 o'clock would put her feet toward the outdoors, and all the kids would, and they would take a big, robust 1 hour walk through the woods. They lived often on the edge of town. And the children told me when they grew up that even when they were in college, at 4 o'clock in the afternoon, their feet would just automatically start fidgeting and want to get out that front door. So you're giving them lifetime habits in this area of good nutrition and exercise. So that's every bit as vital as the academic contribution you're making to their life.
Absolutely. You know, Renee, I think it goes without saying that you have provided our homeschool audience tonight so much great information and encouragement and teaching regarding this very real issue of homeschool burnout. And I want to thank you for spending the time with us this evening. And I'm looking at my wife over here. She's been taking copious notes, which I'm sure many of the ladies are taking copious notes right now. But I want to let you know that if you go to our website, ChristianHeritageOnline.org, you can actually listen to the recording to maybe get some of those little pearls of wisdom that you may have missed. In just a moment, we're going to wrap up with a concluding question, and then we're going to open up the questions from our audience. But what I wanted to do before we got to that is I want to plug the fact, Renee, that you will be one of the great workshop speakers at the upcoming 2013 Christian Heritage Homeschool Conference, which, by the way, is April 25 through 27, 2013. Grab the details and register with a family who has never attended before, and both families receive 40% off the price of admission. Go to ChristianHeritageOnline.org to make that happen. So, Renee, I'm looking forward to actually meeting you in person at the Christian Heritage Homeschool Conference. And I'd love it if you go ahead and tell us maybe about some of the topics you'll be covering at the conference itself.
Okay, well, we're going to be doing six workshops there. One is called The Power of a Focused Mother. And we have many distracted mothers today, even who are at home with all this media. And just viewing children as an investment, and how are you going to grow that investment? Lots and lots of details in that one about how to sharpen your focus and clear your aim. Then the next one is 12 ways to trigger the brain. Everywhere we give this in different states, it's jam-packed. These 12 ways to trigger the brain are not learned even in education college courses. They're learned around the campfire of experience, working with hundreds and hundreds of children. Certain things will trigger the brain, and certain things will fall flat every time. So we have a wonderful little belt of carpenter's tools, belt of homeschooler tools to cover in that workshop. Then we have another one, top-notch home management strategies, and that's going to deal with how do you do the whole big picture, the meals and the, how do you goal set, lots and lots of strategies to run a little kingdom. You know, you wives out there, you mothers, are queens of a little city, a little town, if you look at it that way. You're really in charge of all the areas of human life within your own home. And you dads are over that in an even larger sense. So home management isn't something that just happens, on the backstroke. And I learned that having been in a career first and then married, I found out the more I attended to my home, the more there was to it. It wasn't something you can do on the backstroke. And it becomes more and more fulfilling. That's what's exciting. So we'll be discussing some of that in that workshop. Then the next one, how to train your children, not just discipline them. Character is what they do when you're not looking. So we want to get at those little strategies to really refine your discipline, not just have it be overtly calm in your home, but what's going on in the heart, and how to have effective strategies where you can talk less and have less lather that you're having to work up to get better results. Then the fifth session will be teaching the resistant student, and we talked about that earlier. That's where we'll discuss the nine causes and the nine sure cures for why your children might be resistant, why your particular child is resistant. There are reasons, and we're going to uncover those. And then the final workshop, it may be scheduled at the beginning, I don't know, but it's just starting to homeschool. And that one is loaded with reasons to homeschool. It will buttress your resolve. It'll give you good phrases to use with those naysayers who are your relatives and friends who think you're crazy to do this. So that's a wonderful launching workshop.
Oh, those all sound phenomenal. I'm really hoping that I get a chance to actually sit in on some of those. Renee, you've touched on it a couple of times in our talk tonight, but you haven't actually given out the website. How can those listening find out more about you and what you guys are up to?
Okay, well, we have a full website called homeschoolhowtos.com, and there's no apostrophes and no dashes in that website. It's homeschoolhowtos, T-O-S.com. And on there, you will find over 100 little helps for your homeschooling task. We have delighted in taking complex things and making them simple. We've done research and interviews for over 20 years and distilled the key principles, because you don't have time to read all those books we read or talk to all those people. You just need to know what works so that you can hit the floor running. So they're very simple little, they're kind of like cliff notes, you know, that you had in college, and you could just zoom through your big, huge classic very quickly and get the gist of it. And nearly everything we have on our website is in direct answers to questions that you all have asked us as we've been at these state conventions. Someone would ask us a question and we would go home and do due diligence, lots of research to get them a good answer. And we realize that if they have this problem, then hundreds of other families have this problem. So we invite you to come to that website and look through all the variety of materials there. We also have some books up on Amazon and Kindle for those of you who are Kindle readers and really want to read on the run. So you just go on Renee Ellison Kindle and you'll see the books listed there, and more are coming every week. We are putting them all up, transferring them there as we speak.
Fantastic. Homeschoolhowtos.com. Go check that out. Well, Renee, as we wrap up our time tonight, I know that there are some picking up our webinar right now. You know, maybe they're live with us tonight, or maybe they're catching this years down the road on a recording. I don't know. But I do know that the burnout is so real and so great for them that they are literally one step away from giving up on homeschooling altogether and putting their child on the yellow school bus. Talk to those parents right now as we wrap up.
Okay. Well, remember that your work is so important that you have an enemy out there. He does not want you to succeed with this. So he is hammering on you psychologically and in your spirit and in your emotions. So do not believe this lie. Do not believe the suggestion that someone else will do better in raising your child than you. What happens is your child will get buried in that public school, and the problems that you're having with your children will emerge later in junior high and high school, and that's when all hell can break loose if we haven't tended to those early years very carefully. Remember that you would be sending them into a godless system, a secular, radical, leftist, socialist, godless system. So even if they're just at home with you and you do nothing, they are ahead in terms of raising a holy child. We're raising holy children, not just academic children. It's possible to raise a brilliant robber or a brilliant murderer. No, we have to put education in a context, a moral context, in front of the living God for his sake. So believe that you are being attacked, and that is where the burnout is coming from at its root source. And don't swallow the lies. And then the second practical thing is give yourself a break, a full break every week, one day in seven, and get yourself an easier to administer curriculum. I'm not saying an easier curriculum, I'm saying easier to administer. And if you need help with that, ACE is a good one. There are other ones out there. So if you're carrying too much preparation, you're going to burn out. Just can count on it. I've had moms show up at the booth and they've had tears in their eyes. I'm going to put them back in public school, and I'd say, just give it one more year and switch to this curriculum, and they come back the next year all smiles. So it's very, very important to get a curriculum that is not mother heavy and dad heavy. And to take that rest every week.
Oh, excellent. Amen. And thank you so much for that message. Okay. For those of you that are joining us live, the floor is now open for you to ask our guest questions regarding today's topic. Simply type those into the chat box on your screen. if you haven't done so already. And as we wait for Danny to sift through those for us, I want to remind you that this Christian Heritage webinar series will be continuing on a regular basis. And of course, your feedback is very important to us. We got more information over on the website at ChristianHeritageOnline.org, where you'll find a schedule of upcoming webinars, as well as recordings if you're unable to attend live, or if perhaps you want to listen or watch again because there's so much great content. Or, like I encourage you to do at the head of the show, share with a friend or extended family member. Let's get the message out there. Next month is April, and Mr. Greg Harris will join us on the program to talk about raising your family in light of the gospel of the kingdom of God. So please make plans to join us for that, and to let others know as well. Okay, let's see what sort of questions are coming in right now. We have a question from Tommy. And Renee, this is a question that deals really with the whole introverted mother thing. And she says, hello, Renee, could you elaborate some on how an introverted mother deals with living life three times, as you spoke of, anticipating the day, living the day, and reviewing the day? How do you suggest that us introverts deal with this issue to gain success dealing with this? Well, that doesn't make sense, but you know what she's trying to say. So what can she do?
I sure do.
Yeah.
Tommy, first of all, get connected again with prayer. Spend some time in prayer. It is just remarkable how renewing it is. And there will be ideas come to you in prayer that you didn't have before you prayed. You didn't have them. And lots of people think, well, God can't speak to me because I don't hear little voices and stuff. Well, if you get an idea when you're in prayer that you didn't have before, that's God speaking to you. So prayer is a great place to unburden an introvert's anxieties. So that you'll think, oh, I don't have any time to, but do it. You know, Susanna Wesley, I think she had 19 children, and she would throw her apron up over her head, even in the middle of the living room with all the children around, and pray. And the children just knew when the apron went over mom's head, she was with God, and you don't tamper with that. So that, and then it's vitally important for an introvert to say no. And I'm talking about even taking cookies to the church function. Let some old lady who's raised her children do that. This is the season. You can exhaust yourself with just one child, let alone seven. So this is the season to let other women who've already raised their children do some of the civic things and the church things. And you stay focused on your family. And ask your husband, where am I getting overextended? And don't shun his perspective. He has 20/20 vision on you. And he'll be able to put his thumb right on it. Maybe you're spending too much time sewing or, you know, something even within the home. And you need to get yourself freed up so that you're psychologically have space there at the edges of your brain.
You know, we husbands are wired to solve problems. So, you know, call on our expertise. We have a question, kind of a technical question from Kathy. She said, Renee mentioned finding material in Kindle. How do I do that?
You hang on just a moment. Let me ask my husband, how do you find the material in Kindle? They type in, just type in Renee Ellison and then put the word Kindle after it, and the whole bunch will come up.
You see, you just crystallized what I just said. The husband can give you the solution to that problem. So that was
exactly
awesome. Very wonderful.
Oh, I would be lost. I would be lost without my husband.
I have another question from Carrie, and this question is dealing with the whole mommy guilt idea. She says it was nice to get to find out that we could get permission to have someone else teach an overwhelming subject. It's not that I don't like or love the child, but the subject was just a huge burden for me. Can you speak a little bit more to this idea of this mommy ineptness?
Yes. And again, if you have a really good curriculum that's going to help you with this, that advances only in bite-sized pieces. And like in high school now, they have excellent videos that'll teach chemistry and physics and all those things that are over all of our mother heads, most of us. So getting materials, the right materials, the material will carry it for you, or a surrogate person. Yes, that's an excellent, you don't have to be in the trenches over an area that's just a roadblock for you mentally.
Oh, this has been so rich. Thank you so much for your time tonight and everything you've talked about. I know that I'll be listening to it again. you know, this topic is almost overwhelming, and I'm glad that we're able to record this, like I said, so people can go back. And Kendall, I'm sorry, I'm trying to multitask. You know, men don't do a good job multitasking, but I'm finding out that on Amazon.com, that's where you want to go for the Kindle, okay? Renee, as we wrap up tonight, I'd love to give you a final word, if you will. Is there something that's on your heart about homeschool burnout that that you want to touch upon again or remind us about?
Yes. God doesn't need your ability. He needs your availability. So, you know, many things in the Christian world look Herculean when you start out. Noah's job of building the ark looked undoable at the beginning, but he just gulped and started. He did the next thing. And Elizabeth Elliot talked about that after her husband was killed by the Aka Indians. She said, just doing the next thing was her salvation. And that's what the Lord calls it. Just do the next thing with your hand in his hand. And Mary, imagine being told you're going to be the mother of the living God of the universe. How overwhelming will that feel? Well, homeschooling just does feel overwhelming at the beginning and sometimes in the middle. But just persevere, do the next step, saddle in, put the seatbelt on for the long haul, and you'll look back and you'll have a wonderful harvest that you can't even imagine now. So he doesn't need your ability, he needs your availability.
That is so awesome. All right, everyone. That music is a sign that tonight's webinar is coming to a close. Once again, I want to thank our guest, Renee Ellison, for joining us on the Christian Heritage webinar program.
Bless you all.
Renee can be found at homeschoolhowtos.com. I want to encourage you to go over there and find out what she has to offer. As a reminder, Renee will be at the upcoming Christian Heritage Homeschool Conference, and I'm sure she'd be delighted to meet you in person. ChristianHeritageOnline.org is the website to get you dialed in and signed up. Thank you to Danny for all of his expert behind-the-scenes work, and thank you to everyone on the board for this fantastic opportunity to serve. So until next time, everyone, this is Dr. Thomas Lamar, and may God bless you as you diligently pass on a vibrant Christian heritage to your children for God's glory. Good night, everybody, and God bless. For more information on the Christian Heritage webinar series, visit them on the internet at ChristianHeritageOnline.org. This program produced by Christian Heritage Home Educators of Washington, copyright 2013.